This week, the United States imposed visa restrictions on more than 100 Nicaraguan officials and their families due to what it called the horrific death of political prisoner Brooklyn Rivera. Rivera was a prominent Mosquito indigenous rights activist who died in custody after being arbitrarily detained. The UN group of human rights experts on Nicaragua condemned the death of Rivera in state custody and the fact that authorities took control of his remains, limited family participation in mourning and burial arrangements, and detained relatives and supporters who sought to pay their respect to Brooklyn Rivera. Reed Brody is a member of that UN group and a commissioner of the International Commission of Jurists. Welcome to Sunday Extra, Mr. Brody.
Thank you very much. Thanks for covering this story.
Reed, who was Brooklyn Rivera?
Well, Brooklyn Rivera was a leader of the indigenous Mosquito people in Nicaragua. And for the last 40 years, he's really been at the forefront of their struggle for land rights, for autonomy, for human rights. And over those 40 years, he fought against the Sandinistas during the Contra War in the early 80s. He made alliances with the Sandinistas. He joined Daniel Ortega's government at a certain point. He's always trying to get the best deal for the indigenous people. And he's recognized really throughout the Caribbean coast where the Mosquitoes are as their main political leader.
Reed, as your UN group's statement says, at the time of his arrest, Brooklyn Rivera was deputy of the National Assembly for the Indigenous Political Party, Yatama. Could you give us a quick overview of Yatama and its history with the Ortega regime?
Yeah, so Brooklyn Rivera actually founded that group. I mean, the history of the Mosquito people in Nicaragua is a history of resistance and survival. And when the Sandinistas came to power in 1979, the Caribbean coast initially welcomed the revolution's promises of social transformation, but that relationship deteriorated rapidly. And Sandinistas viewed the indigenous political organizations, which at that time was called Misurasata, with a lot of suspicion. And they've tried to integrate the Atlantic coast. But Brooklyn Rivera was fighting for land rights and autonomy, and he was arrested once. He fled to Honduras. Then it generated into armed resistance at a time when the United States was also sending, organizing, and training Contras to overthrow the Sandinista revolution. But the armed conflict in the Caribbean coast was never that kind of a proxy war. It was really rooted more in a genuine collision between indigenous demands for territorial autonomy and a revolutionary government that was unwilling to accommodate that kind of pluralism. And they negotiated, the Sandinistas agreed to an autonomy statute, actually one of the most progressive autonomy statutes, at least on paper, of collective rights of indigenous and also Afro-descendant people. But that agreement was never respected, neither by the Sandinistas nor by the governments that succeeded the Sandinistas. And the most acute threat to the indigenous population for the last 20 years, 30 years, had been the advance of the agricultural frontier as waves of settlers, or colonos as they call them, from the main part of Nicaragua, pushed eastward into the rainforests and the indigenous lands. And that led to many armed clashes in which the governments were seen as supporting the settlers, and many indigenous people were killed in territorial conflicts. Daniel Ortega, who had been the revolutionary leader of Nicaragua in the 1980s, regained the presidency through an election in 2007. And at that point, the indigenous Yatama, the party that was now led by Brooklyn Rivera, entered into an electoral alliance with the Sandinistas based on promises of land titling and autonomy. And as Rivera served in the National Assembly, chaired the Commission on Indigenous Affairs, but when those promises went unfulfilled, he broke with the Sandinistas. In 2018, there was a civic uprising all throughout Nicaragua against the government. And the government of Daniel Ortega and his wife, Rosario Murillo, crushed that uprising, the demonstrations around the country, with extreme violence. And ever since then, Nicaragua has been on this path to increasing dictatorship, both in Nicaragua as a whole, but also taking over the Atlantic coast. And since 2018 in Nicaragua, there have been different waves of repression to the point that now Nicaragua is a country with no opposition political parties, no non-governmental organizations, no free press, no critical voices. And in 2023, Brooklyn Rivera, who had had this on and off relationship, always trying to kind of get the best deal for people on the Atlantic, particularly for the mosquito population, went to a UN conference in New York in which he denounced the government's policies. And that is something that you can't do in Nicaragua these days. And so the government barred him from going back to the country. He slipped into the country anyway, was living in safe houses. And then in September 2023, he was arrested. His party, the Yadama Party, was canceled. And for the last 2.5 years, the government would not say where he was.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about that. Was he formally charged with anything when he arrested? And what was known of, indeed, where he was and the conditions that he was being detained under since 2023?
So for the longest time, the government did not even acknowledge that they were holding Brooklyn Rivera. And it was only after a lot of political pressure that they revealed that they were holding, but didn't say where he was. So over the last year or so, there's been a lot of concern whether he was even alive. And our group, the United States government, the European Union, have all been demanding some kind of proof of life of Brooklyn Rivera. And then 2 weeks ago, the government all of a sudden published this very disturbing photograph of Brooklyn Rivera in a hospital bed, all tubed up, together with an announcement that listed over 2 pages all of the illnesses and pathologies that he was suffering and how the government had been trying, you know, to bring him back to health. And when we all saw that, we were stunned to see this man of 73 years old in this state, but it also seemed obvious that it was a prelude to a worse announcement. And a couple of days later, the government announced that despite all their best efforts, that, you know, brother Brooklyn Rivera had left us. And, that was seen as an ultimate, you know, humiliation to the mosquito people. But in a way, it also encapsulates the broader dismantling of indigenous rights, but also the problem of the lack of human rights generally in Nicaragua, not to mention the problem of detention and enforced disappearances.
On Sunday Extra, we're speaking with Reid Brody, who's a member of the UN Group of Human Rights Experts on Nicaragua, after the death in state custody of indigenous rights activist Brooklyn Rivera. Reid, your group has called for an independent investigation of the circumstances of Mr. Rivera's death. Is there any realistic prospect of that happening?
No. I mean, as soon as Brooklyn Rivera died, first of all, we don't even know when he actually died. It could have been up to 24 hours before they announced his death. But, you know, family members living on Nicaragua's Caribbean coast wanted to come and take the body and bury the body. And the government, in fact, organized a very rapid burial, certainly partly to ensure that there would be no autopsy. And not only that, they didn't allow any of the family members to attend. And worse than that, they actually arrested 6 of his family members. And we don't know where they are now. And then just on Wednesday, they arrested 6 more people from his extended family. So it doesn't look like we're going to get, in fact, there has been, for none of the deaths that have occurred in Nicaragua over the years, any kind of independent autopsy or investigation.
And indeed, your UN Group of Human Rights Experts notes that Brooklyn Rivera is far from the only person involved in the Yatama Party who has been subjected to arbitrary detention and the like. How many others are in detention?
Yeah, just on the Caribbean coast, we have documented 124 cases of arbitrary detention of indigenous leaders, as well as 46 indigenous people who were killed in violent incidents since 2018. That includes mostly these clashes with settlers, which the government allowed to happen. Brooklyn Rivera was targeted for what he represented. But in general, autonomous indigenous political structures were perceived as an obstacle to this complete government control that we're seeing. I should also mention Nicaragua, there is even formally no longer an independent judiciary or an independent legislature. They are considered to be organs coordinated by this presidency, this co-presidency of Daniel Ortega as co-president and his wife, Rosario Murillo, as co-president.
While the drift to authoritarianism and dictatorship is regrettably familiar, it is rather peculiar that it is accompanied by a co-presidency between Daniel Ortega and his wife. Could you just give us the background and the reality of the way that relationship works?
Well, I give you a couple of important facts. About 15 years ago, Rosario Murillo's daughter, Daniel Ortega's stepdaughter, publicly accused in a 45-page affidavit her stepfather, Daniel Ortega, of having sexually abused and raped her for over 20 years. A few days later, Rosario Murillo and Daniel Ortega had a press conference in which Rosario took Daniel Ortega's side and said her daughter was lying. And I think a lot of people see that as the key to how she has gotten more and more power. She has been accumulating power over many years. She was vice president of the country for many years. And then 2 years ago, the Constitution was actually amended to create a co-presidency with a co-presidente y co-presidenta. And really, I mean, Daniel Ortega is in his late 70s and is considered not to be in great health. And a lot of people who are seen as more loyal to Daniel Ortega and who might object if Rosario Murillo was seen as taking power have also been arrested. Even the few former Sandinista comandantes who stayed with Daniel Ortega, some of them have been arrested or put under house arrest. Daniel Ortega's own brother died under house arrest a couple of years ago. I should mention that many of the leading Sandinistas from the revolutionary period who are still alive live in exile, have been stripped of their citizenship. One of the signature abuses of this government has been to strip 453 people of their Nicaraguan citizenship, including many top former Sandinistas, including all of the opposition presidential candidates from the most recent election, all of the main writers and human rights activists and things. So this is a government that has increasingly relying on the police and the military and the Sandinista party to control not just the country, but also Nicaraguans who live abroad. Some 800,000 Nicaraguans, something like 12% of the country, lives abroad now. And the government, having been able to reduce the country to total silence, is now looking at Nicaraguans who live abroad. And, you know, we've seen not only people having being stripped of their citizenship, but Nicaraguans around the world being refused passport renewals, being refused consular services, and being left in a state of de facto statelessness.
Reid, thank you so much for speaking with us about the sad fate of Brooklyn Rivera and the situation in Nicaragua. The statement that was released by the UN Group of Human Rights Experts on Nicaragua is the latest in a long period of association and investigation that you've had with Nicaragua, which I believe goes all the way back to the 1980s. Could you tell us about your early work investigating atrocities by the US-backed Contras?
Sure. Well, for me, this is a very sad return to a country that I worked in 40 years ago, when, as you say, I spent 4 months in Nicaragua investigating abuses committed by the US-backed Contras against civilians in Nicaragua. And my report really uncovered a very widespread pattern of massacres, of rapes, of burning down of symbols and let's say gains of the revolution, healthcare facilities, schools, things like that. And of course, you know, the tragedy is that Daniel Ortega, who rose up to throw off the previous family dictatorship and who fought for national independence, has now created his own family dictatorship with his wife. And for me, it's just very sad to see what has happened, but also to Nicaraguans. I mean, one of the wonderful things about a job like the one I have investigating human rights in Nicaragua is that I get to meet a lot of activists from Nicaragua, people from all sides of the political spectrum, former Contras, former Sandinistas, all of whom, despite their quarrels, are united in pushing for a more democratic Nicaragua.
Reid Brody, thank you once again for joining us on Sunday Extra.
You're quite welcome.
And Reid Brody is a member of the UN Group of Human Rights Experts on Nicaragua, a member of the International Commission of Jurists, and his 1984 investigation into atrocities by the US-backed Contras was used as evidence in the International Court of Justice case on military and paramilitary activities.
Find more great ABC RN stories that take you beyond the headlines on the ABC Listen app.